I want to look at the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I talked about it before. We preached it in junior church. Most of you know the story. Now, there's a lot of detail in there that we won't go through tonight. But there was a king. I'm just going to call him the king, Nebuchadnezzar, but I'll call him the king. He made an image or a statue, and he wanted everybody. The Bible talks about all the leaders and the rulers, but it gets down to every person of every tongue. He was going to play some music, and he wanted everybody to bow down to that statue, to the image of himself that he had set up. And the Bible says that three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were caught. They were accused, and they were found guilty of not bowing to this king's image, of not bowing what like everybody else was. And they were called before the king. And the Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar called. He heard of the accusation. They said, "There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." And Nebuchadnezzar the king got angry, and he called them to stand before him and answer for why they would not bow. And he said, "I want you to answer in this matter." And they answered with the verses that we read for our scripture reading. They said, "We're not careful to answer thee answer thee in this matter." In other words, they said, "I don't need time. I don't need extra time to prepare my answer." They were respectful, but they gave an answer immediately. They said, "We're not careful. I don't have a need however you want to say it. I don't need to prepare my answer. I'll give you my answer right now." They said, "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." And again, they didn't give a long, drawn-out exegesis, or they didn't give a Bible study. They just said, "That's not going to happen." They weren't disrespectful. Look at what they did not do. They were not doubtful. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you, but rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy." And they made a difference. They said, "Our God whom we serve." Again, they were respectful. They referred to him three or four times just in the verses that we read. They referred to him by his title, by king. They respected him, but they just said, it's not going to happen that way. They didn't apologize. They just said, "Our God, who we answer to, who we serve, is who we bow down to. We don't bow down to your image." They were not resentful or bitter. I talked about it before, but they were very respectful. At the end of the story, when they come out the other side, the king promotes them. And I think a lot of that had to do with the way that they answered him to begin with. The reason they weren't careful or needed time to prepare an answer is because I believe they had already thought about something like this happening. A lot of times in life, we react the wrong way because we didn't think something like that would happen to us. I joked about it this morning about, you know, before I had kids, before I got married, and the advice I would want to give people that had kids or were married, and I wanted to give them what I thought they should do. In this case, these boys had thought about where they would stand and how they would act when the trials came. We talked about it in Sunday school. God does not tell us that we'll never go through a dark time or a doubtful time, just like he didn't promise these guys they'd never have a trial. In fact, they were already in captivity. They were already in a strange land. They could easily say, "God hasn't been fair to us. We've been picked on." Even when they got turned into the king, there were accusers there. The king didn't see it. He had to hear it from somebody else. Somebody was watching them, and somebody was judging them, as Brother Clyde talked about, and they turned them in to the king. The way that we live our life, there's always people that are observing us. And I just go ahead and say, there are probably other people there that day that didn't really want to bow, but they did anyway. Because the verses that describe it all, everything that happened, it was a very ceremonial, ornamental, however you want to say it. It was pomp and circumstance. There was a time and a place. There was a certain music that played, certain instruments that played, and everybody did the same thing. Everybody fell into line. And it was not a faith decision by every person that bowed that day. There were some that probably did it because they were high up in leadership, and they thought, it's not going to look good, and I don't want to get burnt, so I'm just going to bow. There were other people there that probably had inner turmoil, but they went ahead and bowed anyway. There will always be people watching, and they may not believe the way that you do. They may not react the way that you do, but they are watching you. When everybody else says, just bow. You don't have to believe. In fact, we're not asking you to believe in anything. We're just asking you to go through the motions. Just bow because everybody else is bowing. But I just want to remind you, there are people that are watching your conviction. They're watching your faith. And we need to be ready to give that answer before that time comes. That's the reason these three men stood, because they had already thought about, well, I wonder what's going to happen if this comes to pass. The trials of life, we talked about it this morning, but the trials of life should never hurt our faith. They should reveal it. In other words, when we go through a storm or a trial or a fiery furnace, it should reveal the faith that we have in our God. It should not hinder us. It should help us. The Bible talks about refining fire. Talks about in Romans 5, talks about God allows trials and difficulties in our life to prove us, to test us. And sometimes he doesn't even give us, he doesn't give us the reason that we're going through the trial. But he sends us through a trial so that we can come out the other side changed and more productive for him. It certainly was the case for these three young men. So there will always be people that are only hearers and not doers. I think, and if you go back to earlier in the book of Daniel, there were more than three people that believed in the one true God. And either nobody told on them, or there were some that bowed that did not feel that way in their heart. You know, you hear that story about the young kid that was in trouble with his mom, and she kept telling him to not stop standing up, running around, but to sit down and be still. And he would get back up and run around, and then she would grab him and yell at him and tell him to sit back down. And finally, he sat down. But the look on his face, he said, I'm still standing in my heart. I'm still standing up. There's plenty of us that are that way. We just go along because we don't want to be the one that stands out. But even then, there are people that are watching us. And we shouldn't be just hearers, but also doers. And these three young men said, hey, this is the time we were talking about. This is what we were talking about. This is the time to stand up during that trial. So they went through the fire. Many of us today, we could say, well, God's put me in an unfair situation. None of us are in captivity or exile or taken from where we grew up, like we talked about in Sunday school today. But we're going through a trial. I wanted to read to you from Isaiah. Maybe these men thought about this as they faced the fiery furnace. In Isaiah 43, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. And again, whether or not they had, you know, they had the scriptures that we have or the songs that we sing, they had that principle of God's going to protect us. And even if God chooses not to deliver us from this trial, even if God decides to let us not survive, we still ought to do what is right to do. A faith not based on results, but a faith based on their conviction. It wasn't just, well, I'm going to do what I can do to survive. As Brother Clyde mentioned, it wasn't just death did not scare them because they knew there was something scarier than death. Jesus said, don't fear those that can destroy the body. Fear those that can send the soul. I got to find the verse. I'm terrible at paraphrasing. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, you know what? All they can do is kill us. All they can do is burn us. But we have to answer to God. There's a greater authority than this king. Even though he's the most powerful man on earth, there's a greater authority that we answer to. And we got more to fear than just death. Rather, fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And God uses that, Jesus used that example to tell us how much he cares about us. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. Fear not. Ye are more value than many sparrows. These men understood they could not see a realistic way out of the situation. Everybody was witness to what they had already done. The king had clearly explained to them what was going to happen if they did not bow. There was not a scientific physical explanation for what was about to happen, and they didn't know what was about to happen. But they said, "We're not going to bow. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. But if not, we will not serve thy gods." The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, we walk by faith, not by sight. Again, they did not see a way out. And we read that verse this morning before Sunday school. Many times in our life, we do not see a way of escape. God has promised he'd help us be able to bear it, but we don't see how it's going to work out. And we can look at their faith now, if you know the end of the story. They go into the fiery furnace. They get thrown in. The king sees a fourth person in the flames, and he says, it looks like the Son of God. They change his mind. They come out. They don't smell like smoke. Nebuchadnezzar was astonished and saw that vision and saw those men come out living, and the Bible says he promoted them. The Bible says he honored their God. But in the midst of the flame, before they got thrown in, they were walking by faith, not by sight. They did not see a way through that trial. God has promised he'd be with us always. He didn't say he'd always take away every trial. In Psalm 55, it says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And it says in Psalm 147, the Lord lifteth up the meek, he casteth the wicked down to the ground. Many times in life, we get discouraged because we have seen God deliver us in the past, but we get hung up on how it's going to go in the future. And these men should be an example to each of us that I don't see a way out. I don't see how this is going to get any better than it is right now. In fact, it can only get worse. But it is not up to us to see it. It is up to us to believe in God. And this is what these guys did. They said, you know, since I can't see a way out, whether it happens or not, we're not serving your gods. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And again, the way that they lived their life was not based on the temporal, fiery, burning death that they were facing. It was based on answering to the God that was stronger than the fire, answering to the God that was more powerful than the king. The lesson that we have to learn is they were not going to change anybody's mind by being like everybody else. Okay? There might have been other people there that truly believed in God but thought, God probably just wants me to bow and go along with everything else so I don't get hurt. There were other people there that were watching what happened that day. But these three men, they knew that they would not change anybody's mind by becoming like the world. They were not going to have their faith refined in the fire and shown to the whole world if they went along and did what everybody else was commanded to do. They were called to a greater purpose. They were called to a higher power. Again, answering to God, not answering to the authority that was telling them to do wrong. Again and again in our life, we'll come to a point where we realize that there are people that are watching us and watching our faith being tested. The Bible says that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. But it only comes, we only ask for those things when we're going through the trial. And again, these three guys didn't know what to ask, what to ask for. Only faith in the fire, only faith in the trial shows that God keeps his promises. The fourth man in the fire didn't show up until they were already in the fire. God keeps his promises, and God is with us. He didn't show up visibly until they were in the fire, but he was with them the whole time. Fire in the Bible refines us. It releases us. Again, when they were thrown in, they were tied up. Fire promotes us. Again, when they got out the other side, the king said, "You guys were right. I was wrong." The authority, the highest authority in the land, said, "Well, you," and again, just like we talked about Moses last week, the punishment for we talked about how Moses was actually thrown into the river. In this case, they went ahead and paid the punishment. They were thrown into the fiery furnace. God just said, "You can put them in there, but nothing's going to happen to them." And God protected them. And that's where our faith shows, is in the trial. That's when God shows up and is evident to those that don't know him, is when we're going through that trial. God is with us, but he shows he is evidenced in our life as we go through the fires and trials of our life. Again, the Bible says he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. We need to decide before we go through the trial that we're going to trust that God is going to meet our needs. And I don't know what you're going through tonight. I talked about in Sunday school this morning, discouragement, distress, depression. Maybe that trial has revealed something about yourself that you don't like very much. I joked about it, but it's true. You know, I was planning on going through these 2.5 weeks with Pastor not here. There was a lot of things I knew I was responsible for, and I tried to do those things. But in the midst of it, there's about 20 other things that have come up that he also handled that I should have taken care of, and there were things that I didn't get done. And that time of testing, it shows you how much you have to depend on God. And it's true for all of us. We don't live there, but when we visit that spot, it makes us thankful for how much God takes care of in our life, that we need to depend on him. So I hope at least as we go through this together, we can learn, you know, how grateful we should be as for what God has given us here, and be willing to show that to the world. Be willing to say, "No, if I act like everybody else, you know, maybe God will still know that I trust him, and I can confess my sin and apologize. But as long as I act like everybody else, nobody's going to see the difference. Nobody's going to see me stand through the trial." So that's my prayer for each of us tonight, that no matter what you're going through, you want to God to be evident in your life, you got to go through the fire. You got to go through the trial. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. I thank you, Lord, even for the times that we're uncomfortable, the times where we don't know which way to turn, the times where we wish we could do things over, or do things differently, that you stand with us, that you give us the courage that these men had. You give us the boldness that these men had. That we don't have to stop and think about it. We don't have to say, "I never thought about that before." We are ready to answer. We're not careful to answer. We know what the answer is. We know our God is bigger than any false god. We know our God is bigger than any false image, any going along, just going through the motions. We can stand for our God. Help us to do that. Help us to be bold. And it's the only way we're going to reach the world around us. The only way they're going to see a difference is if we decide to be different. So I pray you bless us tonight in our invitation. Thank you for everybody that's here. I pray you bless this time. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.